Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Breaking Chain's new show, History Talk, with Dr. Lavert Kemp. So turn the broadcast up and let's break chains in our history.
It's History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp on YAT Radio. It's Breaking Chains.
Good evening, everyone. On last week, I had the privilege of talking to you about the start of mankind, the origin of mankind. And what we did, we looked at the beginning of mankind back to Australopithecus. And we were talking about fossil found, cells of all humans have theoretical common ancestors. This woman known as mitochondrial Eve lived between 100 and 200,000 years ago in South Africa. She was not the first human, but every other female lineage eventually had no female offspring failing to pass on the mitochondrial DNA. DNA. As a result, now this is your scholars who are talking about this. They are telling you, and they're not black, they're white scholars, they're saying that the DNA result comes to all humans today can trace their mitochondrial DNA back to her, within her DNA, and that of her peers exist. All the genetic variations, meaning the Asians and others that when they left out of Africa, they have a genetic marker that traced back to Africa. So when oftentimes the people don't look like you, a mitochondria DNA, it would go back to Africa. See, in contemporary humans today, since this lady which they call Eve time, different populations of humans have drifted apart genetically, forming distinct ethnic groups that we see today. And it's all come from this lady called Eve. Now, even later on, they found a skeleton of a man that came about maybe, they say about this man who died about 315 years before the birth of Christ. They found the remains. That's what this man would look like. But the DNA that he got, that they was able to take from him, matched the female, his ancestor came from the mitochondria Eve, and that he was a fisherman off the coast of southern Africa, and he was the closest genetic match to Eve. And if he's the closest genetic match to Eve, Africans are the closest genetic match to the beginning. Now, they found his bones, where they was able to get DNA from, is called St. Helena Bay in South Africa by archaeologist named Andrew Smith of the University of Cape Town. This man wasn't that young. He was about 50, and he was the first ancestor, the cradle of humans, to have the DNA that they were able to do a sequence of his DNA and find out that people, no matter if you're in Europe or Asia anyway, we all have that DNA. Different hypotheses and theories have surfaced about why we look different. Some say we left a warm, hot climate and went up in the northern part of Europe and other parts, and the melanin changed and other things like that. But we know that that was a dispersion, and as they stated earlier, that it came in a different than the population of the human, that they drifted apart genetically and formed distinct ethnic groups as they changed their location where they live. The fact that we all came from Southern Sahara Africa, Southern Sub-Saharan Africa. Now, the DNA, and even with Lucy, they wanted to say Lucy being 3.18 million years ago, that Lucy herself, how she would look, some say it was more closer to an ape. But nevertheless, Lucy shows that there were humankind over a million years ago. And as this being a Christian radio show, I want to just make this statement in the fact that the Bible doesn't give a specific date, 1,000 years and things like that. But the Bible that I study, through the different degrees that I have, said in the beginning that God created the heavens and the earth. Now, as I was studying, to obtain my master's degree, I did a study on the African Covenants in the Bible. And the Bible talks about how the Garden of Eden lay, where Adam and Eve was located at in the garden. Now, with Adam and Eve, they often pondered why all the angels were white and why there were no blacks I ever saw growing up. White angels, everyone on the television, as we watched television and through the media, everyone was white. But yet, no one came out of that climate that was ever white. And as I began to study, because I wanted to know about the suffering of the people of African Americans and the plight of African Americans. So in my study, I began to research the World Mark of Nations and other books. I began to do my research on the Bible and find out exactly who's who. I wanted to find out whether or not that we were a curse. And contrary to the belief of some, that wasn't the truth, that we were a curse. Now, I would beg to tell you that the garden was in Africa and not in located over in the Middle East in Iraq. Now, this is what I'm going to say. In the second chapter of Genesis, starting at that 8 to the 15th verse, it tells us where the Garden of Eden is located. And through careful research, I found that both the Pishon and the Gihon River are both rivers located in Africa. Now, let me explain the translation of the above scriptures. You know that Ethiopia is in the African continent. That's Genesis 10, 6 through 7. And he is the son of Ham. Now, and Cush and Mitherim and Put and Canaan were the sons of Ham. Now, the son of Cush is Sheba, Havilah, Sabatha, Rahama, Satisha, and the son of Rahama is Sabichacha, and the son of Rahama, Sheba, and Dedan. The region is now called, what they say it encompassed, is called Djibouti or either Somalia or Somaliland. Now, the name of the second river is the Gihon. The Gihon River is the Nile River, the same that encompassed the land of Ethiopia. As we study the map of Africa, the African continent, possible for the Pishon or the Gihon to flow from Africa to the continent of Iraq. The third,
excuse me, Pastor.
And the third river they say is the Hidikia River. And it went forth, and the fourth river was called the Euphrates. Now, I want you to understand this, that the U.S. News and many other magazines, Africa is recognized and identified as the birthplace of mankind. Now, it was the Jewish historian Flavius Josephus, 11th century, a biblical commentator.
And Rashid both agreed that the Gihon River, which departs from Eden, was the Nile River. Flavius Josephus was one of the great historians. You had Philo and Josephus that many study dealing with the history. And that dealing with the directions or the parts of the Garden of Eden. The Jewish Rashid is called Rabbi Solomon ben Isaac, still being used by scholars even today in studying the Bible. We should understand that the nature of the people who translated the Bible, even King James and others, these were those who had slaves. And we should understand that many European scholars who translated the Bible were prejudiced against Africa. They've even taken Africa, they've even taken Egypt off the map of Africa as though if it's not a part of Africa, even though in the pyramids, the artifacts and pictures show that they were Africans. You know, for this reason, many untrue statements have been made, such as the black race is a curse because of Cain. Today, many of us, we believe that we should be servants and slaves. They believe that we as a race are inferior to the white race. King James himself was a racist. Overlooked the injustice and prejudice of the many Bible translators, those who translated the Bible and seek the truth. Many scientists and world researchers are aware of the overwhelming evidence that Africa is the birthplace of man, and the oldest bones, weapons, tools, utensils, and civilization are found in Africa, not Asia or Europe. Even Isaiah mentioned more than one time one river between Egypt and Ethiopia, although not mentioned by name. The Pishon is possibly mentioned as the upper branch of the Nile. Perion and Avik Yaha, MacWilliam Bible Atlas identified the Pishon as the upper branch of the Nile. It's important that we understand that if you do your study and you'll find out they have two branches of the Nile. The Nile do part out in the two. You have the Blue Nile and the White Nile. The Nile River, you know, and the Roman historian Pliny spoke of Havilah in East Africa. Hastings Dictionary of the Bible, the Cushite Havilah journey from Africa to Arabia. After searching the map of Africa, I found that the northern coast of Africa, now I found that the northern coast of Africa is bordered to the north by the Mediterranean Sea and the Red Sea, to the east to the Aden and the Indian Ocean. The Pishon that encompassed the whole land of Havilah, which is Somaliland or Somalia, could not have been located in Iraq. Neither could the Gihon, which is the Nile, which the Bible says encompassed the whole land of Ethiopia. To the east of Ethiopia is Somalia, and to the north is the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. To the east, Somalia is the Indian Ocean. Through the study of the World Atlas, I found that the Garden of Eden would have been located somewhere in the area of Ethiopia or Somalia. The word encompass in your Bible is used both with the Pishon and the Gihon. Each one encompasses Havilah, encompass, which is modern-day Somalia, and the other encompass, the Gihon, is now called the Nile. Webster Dictionary defines the word encompass as enclosing a line or limit of an area or perimeter, passing around. To view this retrospectively, the Gihon, which encompasses Ethiopia, is the present-day Nile. That's the Pishon. That's okay. The Pishon, which encompasses the country of Havilah, the present-day Somalia, are both in northern eastern Africa, and now we must consider the remaining river, the Hidekia and the Euphrates. Now let us pay close attention to this. With serious examination, the role of these two rivers play a key part. Let's look again at the first two. Genesis 2 and 10 tells us that a river went out to water the garden. From hence it parted and became, we can establish, two parts. One river out to water a garden. Part two, one river parted and became four rivers. The first is the Pishon, that which encompassed the land of Havilah, which we have established the fact that the Havilah during this period covered the land that now include northeast Egypt, northeast Sudan, and Djibouti during that period of time, though I believe it extended southward through the position of the northern Ethiopia and northeast Sudan. This would mean that the Pishon River flowed the direction toward the Red Sea or Arabia. The name of the second river is the Gihon, and this encompassed the land of Ethiopia. We have established this is the Nile, with the northern flow through present-day Egypt. I believe during this period, Ethiopia encompassed part of the Sudan and present-day Egypt. Now listen to this. This land was called Cush, and later Metherim, which Cush is Ethiopia and Metherim is Egypt. Cush is the and Metherim the brothers who settled present-day Egypt, which bears the name which means black or burnt face. That's Cush. Now, they call the people of Egypt Kim or Kemites, and that means black. Some scholars have tried to, and European scholars have tried to mean it, the black land, the dirt is black. No, it meant that the people that the Kemets were the people of that country were black. Now let's look at the last river, the third river, which is the Hiddekel, which has been identified as present-day Tigris River. Those who make this assumption, I believe, are in error. Let's look at Genesis 2 and 14, which said, and the name of the third river is the Hiddekel. Now, they say the Tigris River is the Hiddekel. That is which goes toward the east of Assyria. This tells me that the river flowed in the easterly direction. The Tigris River, which is east of Assyria, flows parallel to the Euphrates River before meeting the Euphrates River. This flowed toward the south and the north. They flowed northward. Thus, it cannot be the Hiddekel, only unless the river changed its flow. I believe this river, which ran toward the east of the Syria, ran toward and merged with the Euphrates. In the later part of Genesis, Moses tells us only the fourth river is the Euphrates. As I look at the picture, I can see one river parting and becoming four, one river forming a southern border of the garden and flowing eastward. This river is the Pishon River. This river could be lost, but I believe a portion still exists today through its original flow, changing and a cutoff. It is called the Atabana, which connects with the Nile in northeastern Sudan and flows toward the Red Sea. I've told you through research, I did a lot of different researches when I was doing my master's, and this was my thesis was on this. The second river, the Gihon, was established. It is present-day Nile. Its northerly flow forms the western boundary of the garden. The third is the Hiddekel flow toward the east of Assyria. I believe the river was lost with the great flood. Its easterly flow carries it from its source, the Nile, toward the eastern of Assyria to the fourth river, the Euphrates. The Hiddekel eastward flow forms the northern boundary of the garden. The Euphrates, which flows easterly now, probably had more southerly flow before the flood and formed the easterly boundary. It's important to understand all this occurred before the flood came, and the land masses may have been together, but the description that have been given about Somalia and Havilah, this is in Africa, encompassed the land of Somalia, which we know of Cush. The garden was circled by one river, which broke into four different heads. Now, an interesting point, at the beginning of the garden being present-day Northeast Sudan. This is where what is known as the White Nile becomes the Nile. It also feeds into the Atabana at that point. That's your third river. I believe the Nile intersects and fed the Hiddekel, which flowed and emptied into the Euphrates. Now, the Euphrates, the southern flow, took it down to meet the Pishon. Though many may disagree with me, scientists and archaeologists agree on these points. One point that they agree, that the landmass that now form Africa and the Middle East were always connected. I've also did some further study in that scene where in the Red Sea, that they have noticed that it was joined together at one time because of the way the bottom is shaped through like an earthquake or flood or something. They called it the separate. There was a great flood and the land mass was lost, and the present-day Mediterranean Sea and Red Sea and the Persian Gulf probably were formed. Now, it talks about rivers were completely lost on their course, may have been altered. To go even further, we know that there was no rain falling during this period of time, during the second chapter of the book of Genesis. No rain had ever fell during that time. We are told that the garden was watered by a mist each morning. Let us look at this theory. Then we can establish that the garden was encompassed, encircled by streams flowed from the river into the garden, which we know today is irrigation to keep the soil moist. This combined with the warm days and cool nights produce a morning dew we call dew today, which when combined with the moist soil kept the garden beautiful. The Bible tells us that the days were extremely warm because in Genesis 3 and 8 tells us that they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, probably evening. From this we see warm air absorbing moisture from the rivers, the stream, the soil each day and redeposing it. It's keeping the garden warm and tropical. We know that dark-skinned people have always been found in warm or tropical areas. I finalize this part of this thesis or theory with the location of the garden. It is easy to establish that the Garden of Eden was on the continent of Africa. This is established by the location of the garden. We look at the garden for too long as some small remote area. But for every animal to live in the garden, it had to be very, very large. Moses tells us specifically where the garden was. He tells us about the four rivers. He also tells us the land they circle, period. Thus, this land is the northeastern Africa and a portion of the Middle East, portions of Egypt, the Sudan, Ethiopia, Saudi Arabia, all of present-day Israel, Jordan, Syria, and a portion of Iraq. This would be in line with the belief that many renowned theologians who believe this sector, territory, is the same described in Revelation. We must keep in mind that a portion of what I describe is now the Mediterranean Sea. Revelation 21:1 tells us, and I saw a new heaven time, and the first earth passed away, and there was no more sea. Considering all these points, I believe my theory holds up on the location of the Garden of Eden. I would like to say if we would just take time to do the study and not believing what others have told us. For so many years, we have been lied to and told that we didn't play any part of, that it, the garden was in a certain other area. But all the time, the garden have always flowed from there. It was the Greek. It was the Greek, and even in the Latin, and the Greeks always believed that Ethiopia was called the land of the gods, where there was gold and beldonium and oxygen. That was located there. It's I've been told for so many years, and we have seen on different sections on television that everyone have been Caucasian out of that area. And I just gave you from millions of years ago that life originated in Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, the plains. I told you about Lucy. I told you about Eve and that the male, this male that they found in South Africa, St. Helena, South Africa, Helena Bay, South Africa, that 315 B.C. carries the genotype, the DNA of Eve, who's supposed to be the mother, which everyone carried. But he was an African. I've also discussed that out of that, they say, about the mutation. I've also discussed on the first night that you could take a black child and a young black female and come up with a white child, come up with what you call an albino. No melanin and blue eyes, but you can never find that in the DNA of white on white making a black child. And the reason is it has to come where it all started from. Years ago, I want to say this, I just want to put this in, Doberman pinches. I had a red Doberman, I had a black and tan. But out of that group, I had a blue, I had fawn, I had black and tan and red. And the reason I'm saying that is it reached back into our ancestry years back. It reached way back. And then for hundreds of years, you could have one of your children could take a genotype of your ancestors and look like the great-great-grandfather, because it's all in our DNA. It says all in our genotype. Now, there's other portions that comes up with this, and that's the reason I wanted to tell you. And the other reason I wanted to talk to you tonight and doing this history, because I want us to understand that we have a far history much greater than America, than a slave, a beat-down slave. We come from a people that while Europe was still in caves, we were living in houses and building thatch huts, and we were building cooking food, and we had tools that we were building. We were eating fish, and we were planting, and we weren't just farmers, but we were eating different things that we had that others didn't have at that time. We were far advanced in Europe. And I made a statement that oftentimes that we don't pay attention because we go by what we see. The back of being Africa, never telling about the Moors people, never talking about the pyramids, which was some of them were almost 3,000 years before Christ was born, before Europeans ever set foot in Africa. There were pyramids. And if you look at the inside, the pictures of them show you that they were brown and black people. It's so ridiculous today that or I look at the History Channel sometimes, and I know not to believe what it says. It says that people came from outer space, pyramids. Why? simply because how could these Africans, Imhotep was the first person to build a step pyramid, but how could these Africans build a 47-plus-story building with no crane, no lift? How could they cut stone perfectly square? How were they able to do it? And even today, they can't figure it out. But I submit to you today that there are more pyramids around the Sudan and other places than there are in Egypt. All you have to do is Google, find out. But that's not told to you because Africa is a black country, a country that nothing was done, and the people are ignorant, and the people are beneath everyone else. That's so far from the truth. Metallurgy and all kind of things originated there. First college, Timbuktu. Africa. Why, when they first came over, did they destroy the records in Egypt? Why were so many of the records destroyed? You take away a person's history. And that's what they've done. But getting back to the earlier parts of the Bible, getting back to the time before the floods, I'm going to just give some names to you, and I want you to pay close attention. Right now, I'm going to allude to after the diluvian period, after the flood. After the flood in Genesis 10, it's going to give you the name of the sons after Noah came out of the ark. He had sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, it's been said that Ham is the father of the Africans, and that Shem is the brown man, or the black and brown man is Shem, and the Caucasian race would be Japheth. But now I want you to pay close attention to a specific name because I want you to understand this today. And I want you to Google this and find out about the ethnic groups that are in Jerusalem today. And don't take what I say. I want you to research whatever I say. It says, now the generations of Noah was Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were born after the flood. They say, now Japheth had a son. Now this is supposed to be the Caucasian race. Had a son named Gomer, Magog, and Madea, and Javan, and Tubala, and Meshach, and Tiras. Now listen at this name here, and please underline this. This is in 3, the Genesis, the 10th chapter, and the 3rd verse. It say Gomer, they say the sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz. Underline that word, Ashkenaz, because when I told you, remember the ethnic groups that are in the Holy Land now, they're called Ashkenaz Jews, Ashkenaz. Ashkenaz came off of Japheth. That's Caucasian. They can never be an Israelite or a Hebrew. You have to come from Japheth. They Ashkenaz, we Ashkenaz Jews, you're not. The Bible warns us, say there are people that say that they're Jews and Jews or Israelites and are not. You have to come from Shem. You have to come from Shem. The next group that's in the Holy Land today is called Khazar. That means they're from north of Turkey. They're not originally Hebrew. And I think a surf of them, they're from around Spain. Those are the three main ethnic groups that are in the Holy Land today. If you want to trace it back biblical, but you have to do the study. There was no whites that was down that way.
it was no more than Shem and Ham was located in the Holy Land. Matter of fact, Ham possessed the Holy Land. Canaan, the land of Canaan, come from Ham's son Canaan. Let me finish reading something to you. And it says, now, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided the land, either one or by tongue. Now, I want you to pay close attention to what I'm about to say. Now, they call these people Gentiles. They're calling just the one I call Ashkenaz Gentile. They say, by there were the isles of the Gentile divided their land, every one other in his tongue after their family and in their nation. This is called your Caucasian or your white race. They were different, their different language, and it said, that tells you that right there in the fifth chapter of the 10th verse. And then they say the sons of Ham and the birth of Nimrod. Now listen at this, say the sons of Ham were Cush. You remember I told you they said that the Garden of Eden encompassed the land of Cush or Havilah. Now watch this. Cush, Metherum. Now this who Ham had. Cush, Metherum, and now see this is what I'm saying now. And Put and Canaan, the sons of Cush were Sheba, the queen of Sheba, Havilah, that's Ethiopia, Sabatha, Rama, Sabaticha, and the sons of Rama was Sheba and Dedan. The Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be mighty one on the mighty one on the earth. And I'm gonna tell you something. Where Nimrod was building the Tower of Babel, that's where Abraham come from. It was called the land of Nimrod. What color was he? Do your research on your Bible. The Cush begot Nimrod and became a mighty one on the earth. And that's the 8th verse of the 10th chapter. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was from Babel, which is Babylon, Iraq, Akkad, Canaan, in the land of Shinar. That's the place towards where Abraham came from. Out of the land went forth Asher, and built Nineveh, and the city of Rehoboth and Calah, rhythm between Nineveh and Calah, the same is the great city. And Metherum begot Ludum. Now Metherum is Egypt. And now these are Ham children. This is Egypt now. The Bible is telling you this. But when you see the pictures of them, everybody's white. Anamim, and Lahabim, and Naphtuhim, and Pathrushim, and Casaluim, out of whom came the Philistine, and the Caphtorim. The Canaanites begot Sodom, his firstborn Heth, the Jebusites. Now, where you see the word in the 16th verse, Jebusite, that's where Jerusalem got its name from, Jebus. That's Jerusalem. And Amorites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Arkavites, the Semites, the Arkvadites, the Zerahites, the Hamathites, and afterward were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sodom to the most coming to Gershur, unto Gaza, that does go unto Sodom and Gomorrah and Adamah and Zim and Zudama, even unto Lasha. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongue, in their country, and in their nation. It tells you
that Ham had kids that was with, that Nimrod and others, they were all in the Middle East where Abraham came from. Now, the children of Israel have to come from, if you're going to say that you're a Hebrew, you have to come from the land of Nimrod. You have to come from that area around where Shem came from. Say, unto Shem also, the father of the children were Eber, the brother. And then it talks about his brother was Japheth. Even to him a child was born. And then they say the children of Shem were Elam. You're talking about he was the father of the children of Eber. And the brother of Japheth, he was the eldest. To him were children born. Now he's the brother. He's the elder. Children was Shem, Elam, Asher, Arphax, Lud, and Aram. The children of Aram were Uz, Hul, Jether, Mash, Arphax begot Shelah, and Shelah begot Eber. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name were Peleg, in his days was the earth divided, and his brother name was Joktan. Joktan begot Amadad and Shelef and Hazar, Mavoth and Jerah and Hadaram and Uzzel and Dekla and Obal and Baal-Meel and Sheba. The Ophel, the Havilah, and Jobed, all these were the sons of Joktan, and their dwelling was from Mesha as they go to Sephar on the mount at the east. These are the sons of Shem and their family, after their tongue and their land. And if you have a map, it usually will show you that where they separated and went, and it will show you in the back that the children of Japheth went up into Europe, the children of Ham and Shem stayed in the Holy Land and in the top around Egypt. There's so much right in this Bible. If you take the name, you'll find out that now, and I'm going to show you a part right here. The children of Japheth left out the Bible, which is supposed to be the Caucasian race. In the 10th chapter, not to come back until about 500 years before Christ, over 1,000-something years absent out the entire Bible. Or you heard about Alexander the Great, the Conqueror, before Christ, maybe 300-400 years before Christ. By that time, the Romans was ruling in the Holy Land. But before that time, the marriages that went on, and I think I'm going to save that for another time and go even further to show you that who married who. I'm going to expose these things to you and show you that the children, by genealogies, that the children of Shem and the children of Ham, grandchildren, they married each other. I'm going to show you, Prince, that Prince, what color was the Hebrew Israelites. I'm going to prove that which was been shown today, as I showed you the main population of the people in the Holy Land are called Ashkenaz, and if you are Ashkenaz, that means you're from around Lithuania, Caucasia, or Russia. And you are not from the Holy Land. You are Caucasian. You are not from the Holy Land. But that's who are in that today. I'm going to give you facts to look up from other nations telling you that they are not really Israelites. They are not Jews, per se, and tell you who the real Judas are, because they're not in the Holy Land today. And I'm going to even give you different places where you could pull it up on YouTube and other places, that their own rabbis admit that they are not really Israelites. Not just the Jew, the covenant was made with Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. And when you're studying, in fact, what I wanted to do was to give you a background that mankind himself originated in Africa. Some say sub-Saharan. Some have found the different old artifacts right around southern Ethiopia and Sudan. But nevertheless, we have played a pivotal role in this world, and we are people who God have chosen. We wonder why we go through so much, because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We don't know who we really are. That have been taken from us, our identity, our true identity have been taken from us, never to be given to us again. Once a person can take away that from you, they almost have you conquered. They almost have you beat. And that's what have happened to the African race today. Not African, because majority of the ones in America today are Hebrew Israelites. If you may not know it, and I'm going to prove that also to you by not what some blacks came up with, but I'm going to come and let you, after I finish talking with you, I'm going to give you where to look and where to find out and let you find it says it themselves. This a Caucasian rabbi, supposed to be Jewish Caucasian rabbi, that come out and admit that blacks, the ones that came to America, are the true Israelites. And we'll say it and say, well, this may be a game breaker, but he has to tell the truth. It's been hid from us too long who we are. The things that matter in life so much is that have been taken from us. It have been taken from us, and we don't know who we are. The bill of
Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. God bless you, Dr. Kemp. We don't know who we are, and I'm thankful that you are here on Tuesday nights to teach us and educate us further about who we are, sir. So thank you for the show tonight, Pastor Kemp. Very powerful. Whenever you're ready to open the lines and got more comments, anything, Pastor, it's on you now.
Well, good evening, and God bless everyone. If you have any questions, either dealing with anthropology, it could deal with the Garden of Eden. It could deal with the color of which color were the original Hebrews, and or whatever you want to discuss. We'll formulate some answer or come up with something with it. So if there's anyone have anything that you want to know, it's open. The lines are open for answer, question, Q&A.
Yes, sir. My name is Fred Nelson. I'm a member of Chapel Baptist Church in Baton Rouge. Dr. Kim, so good. I enjoyed your lecture. I really did. I am not a student of anthropology, but I'm fascinated by it. I've tried to trace my own family roots and going back to the Gold Coast of Africa. But it's difficult. I had a short career as a high school teacher, or rather, a high school teacher but I was teaching middle grade subjects. And eighth grade science for the students is what they call earth science. And with earth science, part of earth science is teaching the development of the world. And it's just that sometimes I just get mixed up with when it comes to things in Genesis and the evolution of man and dog. So for me, sometimes it's kind of confusing when I try to mix it with scripture. Is that a problem? I don't know.
Well, no, it's not really a problem. It's something that we have to deal with when we are looking through the lens of just as a human, and we try to look into the spiritual realm at a God that's omniscient, all-powerful, a God that's omnipresent everywhere at one time, omnipotent, all-powerful. We try to make God be on our level, and we are finite. Our abilities have an end. When I was in college, I took finite math. That means that math had a certain realm that it just covered certain parts of mathematics. It has an end. But God is infinite in all his wisdom. Man tried to, as mankind, we try to reason, all the time. You know, as I stated earlier, you know, the Bible never said that the world was 6,000 years old. All the Bible starts off because it does not give any date. It just say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth.
Right.
I've been asked before, what first the chicken and the egg? And I would tell you, when God created every animal, he created the animal fully grown. And he told, because it states this, it's implicit. He said to them, be fruitful, multiply.
Yeah.
And then he even told mankind, be fruitful and multiply. And so if he made two or more than two different animals, certain animals, he asked them to multiply. So you have to be a full-grown adult to multiply. And, you know, to subdue and replenish. And so if you're going to subdue something, the prefix sub means to be under. So we have to have this world under subjection and to rule it as the way God had created us to rule, not poisoning the world. But he created all of us stewards. And a steward is just one who take care of something. And when he created Adam and Eve, he told them just to name every animal and every plant. So they were caretakers of the garden until they fell. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
I hope I answered your question. It's to your suffice.
They will be asked the question.
No, you know, it's I understand and I appreciate you know, the clarifications and all. It's something that that, like I said, you know, having to teach it when I was teaching, that I just came in conflict with teaching evolution and then referring to my scripture in Genesis, you know, how different it is. I once had a teenage Sunday school class when I was in New York, and I had teenagers, and we were doing poor things. Yeah, but anyhow, my wife is telling me I'm getting long-winded.
Yes.
So thank you so much, Dr. Kim. Enjoy it very much.
God bless you and your wife, Brother Nelson. And your preaching wife. Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. This is Evangelist Nelson. Dr. Kemp, who is one of my professors at school, and I love him. Dr. Kemp, I remember you teaching us about Lucy. We had to do an article for you on Lucy, the first African mother of a soul. I forgot, you said they found her about in Africa, but I wanted to know where in Africa you say she was, they discovered her.
She was found in the southern parts of Africa. Lucy was found in the southern parts of Ethiopia. Lucy was found in Devon in 1974 by Tom Guy and what's called Great and Mr. Great. They found that they were looking for rock. They were more like archaeologists, and they stumbled upon partial remains of a skeletal remain, and they date her to go back to 3.18 million years ago. So 3,118,000 years ago. And Lucy go back there, but they even went further back, and not further back, but it's something that you could set your head on. It's called Mitochondria Eve. 200,000 years ago, her skeletal remains go back 200,000 years ago, and they were able to get DNA from her. And when they took her DNA, they found out that all contemporary, when they say contemporary, they mean today. Every contemporary person today carry her DNA. And she was found in sub-Saharan Africa, going down to the southern parts of Africa. They found her, and so they named her EVEA, Mitochondria Eve. And those are things, and I heard Brother Nelson was saying that about what he had to teach and different things were not taught when he was teaching school. Well, you teach what the Europeans or a white America give you to teach, and you're limited. Right. But these very same white scholars will tell you about mitochondria Eve. They'll tell you about the geneticists. They'll tell you about the anthropologists, their discoverers. They know that life started in Africa. That's why I gave you a rundown on the Gayon and the Pishon River, that it was right around Ethiopia where they found her at. And I don't believe in evolution. Evolution means to evolve. To evolve something means that something came from one thing to another. And so
I don't know
if we came from a monkey, the Romans, thousands of years, the Ethiopians, every one of them had thousands and thousands of years ago, but monkeys are not evolving into humans. The Big Bang Theory came about, where explosion happened and these amoebas came out the water. They began to breathe, and then they became human. No, it didn't happen. God formed man from the dust of the earth breathed into his nostrils.
Right.
God formed
man.
That's what happened.
Amen.
Not somebody came from an ape to a human being.
Amen.
A single cell amoeba. Those are the Darwin theory of evolution, where you to evolve. Now, what you can say that how did the Caucasian race evolve? Now, the Caucasian race came from out of Africa when the original race went through a mutation. And they lost their melanin. And they lost melanin, the hair changed because of the diet and the climate. They went from burning hot around the desert, around the equator, and the hot around the sub-Sahara, the Sahara Desert from that area. They moved up in Europe,
skin move.
And they, they lost their skin tone. Yeah. They went through what you call a mutation. A mutation means people change. And they lost melanin. And I say this, and I would tell any Caucasian or European, that they're really European, because only in America, and that was whether it was 1781 or 1681, that they start calling themselves white. If you came from Africa, you was from the continent of Africa. If you was from Europe, mm-hmm. you're the European. But it's only in America they start calling themselves white, to put themselves up above those who they had enslaved in 1619.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Well, do I have anyone else needed? Yes, sir. I hear the senior pope. I hear the senior pope out there. What's up? What's going on?
Man, look, I just want to tell you that you are a walking black encyclopedia.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Man, look.
Yes,
mother.
We're trying to pick that brain.
From you. I've learned more from listening to you tonight than I learned in 12 years of school, in public school.
Come on now. All right. Amen.
During my day, they never taught us anything about black folk.
That's
everything
right.
Everything was white. You know, the Lone Ranger rode a white horse. Tonto had a pinto horse. You know, all the good cowboys wore white hats. The bad ones wore black hats.
Black cat. That's right.
Yeah. If a black cat crossed the road, mean bad luck.
Yeah, bad luck.
Yeah, they got us so brainwashed that we believe that everything is black and bad.
Yes. Everything's black. Huh.
Yeah.
Man. So true.
And I'm so glad that you are enlightening people of color.
Yes.
Of African.
Yes.
A sense that we are somebody.
Oh, yes.
You know, we're not bad like white America has already always put us out there to be bad.
Brainwashed.
So good at it until really they have us not liking each other. They have some black people that try to do certain things to make their color change, you know, because they feel like they're dark skin. Something wrong with them. I thank God, man. James Brown said, "I'm black and I'm proud."
And I'm proud. Amen.
So Doc, I just wanna thank you, man, and let you know that. All the information that you're putting out there is very prevalent to black people, and I thank God for you, and I pray God's blessings upon you, and that you continue to teach us and help us to understand who we are, where we came from, and what we are, and who we belong to.
Amen.
I'd just like to say,
In the American school system, it was intended to brainwash African American and Native Americans that they were nobody. When I say brainwash in the Arab country, is you're only Islam, but they are a theocracy, meaning they're God governed, so they're straight with the. They deal straight with their Bible. They believe in what their religious belief is. Now, what they do with us is they make everything white. And in high school, from elementary, from kindergarten to high school, all you learn is everything is white.
Everybody is white.
they write the Bible. Every character in the Bible is white, but yet white folk didn't come from that area. If you have an opportunity, if you want to learn really what color the Hebrews were, you could go and ask if there's a Gamma Abdul Nasser. He had a speech. You could Google it. Gamma Abdul Nasser's speech in 1952, where he stated about, he made a statement about, we the Arab League refuse, will not accept you Hebrew speaking Gentile. How can you leave black and come back white? We will never accept you. So they tell you what color the original was, and they put in, I told you about the Eskenaz, and that they're from Japheth. They're from Caucasia. They're from Lithuania and Russia. That's what they are. They're white people from Russia. They put it over in the Holy Land. They tell you that the land of Canaan was Hamites, saying that they were black. Mm-hmm. They said that Egypt was black. And which was Mithraim, which they call it, the people gave the land of Kim, K-I-M, mean Kim, mean black. And then they call the Ethiopians the Cushites, and the word Cush means burnt face. Put is Libya, Canaan is the son of, grandson of Ham, all that was black. The Holy Land was black. It was joined together. The rift that runs through it, the plateau that runs through it, was connected as North Africa until they built the Suez Canal in 1900. And all of a sudden now it's called, the name now, what the Europeans gave it, is Eurasia. Eurasia means Europe and Asia. They connected it together now with Europe. Eurasia. And it's not. The early historians, even Flavius Josephus, Tacitus, and all the rest of them will tell you that the Israelites or the Hebrew were Ethiopian of African descent. Yeah, they'll tell you that, of African descent. But all of a sudden now it's different. Moses could, there's a killing. Kill all the firstborn Israelites. Because that's what Pharaoh of Egypt said. Kill all the firstborn. How you gonna bring a white child in a black house and he just said kill him? All of us the same color. And to prove that point, when Moses killed an Egyptian and he fled to the land of Midian, where he met his wife Zipporah, which was an Ethiopian. When he met her, she told her father Reuel that they had found an Egyptian. All of them were black. Joseph's children were black. Joseph passed for Egypt. It's all the way through your Bible. And they only married Hamite black people. They kept their color. But it's all right before your face. It's all right before. They tell you Abraham came from Ur of the Chaldees of Mesopotamia. But a few verses before that, they tell you that the land was called the land of Nimrod, meaning Nimrod was Ham's grandson. It was black. And then you find out, you look this up, 4,000 years ago, it was classified as a Sumerian civilization, meaning like it was Ethiopia. You ask what color the people is, they'll tell you the people are chocolate with stoop noses, mean thick or wide noses. Who is that? Mm-hmm. Who is the color of chocolate and with a stoop nose? You know who it is.
Yeah,
they
people.
Tell us that we didn't do anything. They tell us about Columbus, but over 3,000 some odd years ago, 300 years ago, they had blacks already over in the Americas with the color Olmec people, OL-MEC. But you don't learn that because they're going to tell you some European, a dummy. Now, this is not what I'm about to tell you. A dummy tried to sell to India, got lost, and landed in Hispania, seeing some native people and called them Indians because he was looking for India. So now they don't call it India because an Indian got lost. I'm just saying it that way. He gets lost. And so, but they build him up like he was something. But they don't tell the history. Right. Now they have it written down that he brought syphilis and all diseases over here to the native people. Mm-hmm. He killed them looking for, and he killed the people looking for their gold. That's Columbus, who we have Columbus Day. It's written, mm-hmm. they wrote about it. But no, we played such an intricate part. We're in Australia. We've been all over Pacific Islands. They have blacks in them. We've been going, traveling by ships and settling countries. When I think of a Caucasian, I think of an albino, because Mendel's law said dark skin is dominant. The word dominant means superior. Light skin is a recessive gene. Being white skin, that pale skin is a recess, come from a recessive gene, meaning a lower gene. Okay? Blue eyes, you don't see many of them because they come from recessive. Brown and black eyes is dominant. Most of all the people in the world have blue eyes. It's dominant. See, now you could take two black people and get an albino child. A child mm-hmm. that looks white with blonde hair, and sometimes it'd be nappy, but some of us go to church with albino, and they're the same color with white people. But white people don't want to be called an albino. But you could call a white catfish albino, white alligator albino, alligator, white tiger, everything animal that's white, they call it. You didn't get that. They won't call themselves albino because they know that is like almost like a French nation. It's not that many. But when you add the mathematics, let me say this. When you do mathematics, it's 850 million Caucasians in the world. But there's 7.9 billion people in the world. They only make up 11% of the population of the world. But they control most of the world because they are violent people, very, very right. violent people. It's easy to deal with Africans and other races because they're very spiritual-minded people. They are God-fearing people. But when you have a race of people that does not fear God, everything is right. murder. Every time you find a mass killer, bomber, or anybody yeah. going up shooting up school, they're Caucasian.
That's true.
No, you look it up yourself. You'll find out. Everywhere they go, they try to take over and kill the people.
Yeah.
So this is what we're dealing with, but it's not Amen. Being taught. Mm-hmm. It's not being taught. The truth mm-hmm. is not being taught in school. Mm-hmm. And then we don't research it to find out that everybody, the people, it started in Africa and it came off of you. I make people laugh with this. You've never seen a white horse in the Kentucky Derby. And that's not a joke. That's the truth. They run thoroughbred. They run purebred horses. They don't run albino horses. They run purebred horses. Look it up.
Go ahead, Doc.
Why you think you outplay them in basketball, football, base, any sport you're going to? You dominate.
Dominate. Tennis, no.
Because of your DNA, your genes.
Uh-huh.
And this is where, look up the term mutation. So this is what we're dealing with. And a lot of people don't, you know, some people I do all the research and I just tell it like it is. Anyone have another question they'd like to ask? I hear a lot of laughing, but anyone have another question they'd like to ask?
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Brother Melvin out of Baton Rouge. That's my pastor. I want to give you some honor. The Bible says give a man honor when it is due. And I'm grateful to be his friend, just to have him, I could call him my friend. I talk with mm-hmm. Pastor. We talk on a daily basis, all through the weeks. And one thing I wanted to say about evolution, all we understood is evolution, something evolved from that. If we evolved from if evolution causes us to be here, we evolved from monkeys, why are the monkeys still here? Why are they still here? Even when something evolved from something, something is deleted. You get something else. So if we evolved from monkeys, white man, or no, not the white man, the scientists, why are the monkeys still here? So that's a lie that you want to get everybody to believe, to demand, to diminish God's power. Well, I don't care what you do. He's here. He's going to be here. He's going to always be here. And one thing I'm going to research, I don't know the mind of Christ, but I often wonder, when he built this whole universe, why did you go to Africa to start the foundation of man? Why did you choose the dirt in Africa to create the first human? He knew what he was doing simply because of the stuff that we are going to right now. The dominant people that he chose were going to be the mind diminished in any kind of way that we could be. Now, I don't want to get into too many details because I get angry. I was born in 1950, so I'm telling you what I went through. I knew it was a lie back then. It's a lie now. I looked at a few Christmas movies on television or animation. Jesus was a little white baby. All the people that surrounded him, I don't know whether you call them disciples or whatever, all of them had this, I don't know too much about hair, you know, like the women's wear. I know some is like Trump hair, you know, it's that yellow stuff. I don't know what the blonde or brunette or something. I don't know the difference. But everybody appears to have this long hair. And I read in the Bible, nobody told me that, I read this. His hair was like sheep wool. And sheep wool hair is knotted, it's tough, it's coarse.
Right.
What race of people have coarse hair? Black people.
Mm-hmm.
His skin was polished brass. What race of people's skin is like polished brass, which is a derivative of brown or black?
Mm-hmm.
It derived from that. We're the only race. So, Lord, forgive me. White man, you told a lie, but we're going to break this lie. We're going to put it to test.
We're going to break chains.
I'm Melvin Abner of Baton Rouge, so you can call me if you don't like it. I don't care, like the pastor said last night. I'm just telling the truth. You accept it or you reject it. I just don't care if you get mad no more. I want the truth to be told. Pastor, I love you, Doc. I'm going to have to leave the radio station because I got some calls I got to make. I just got in, but I enjoyed it so much. And I bless everybody on this radio station.
God bless you,
Brother
Melvin.
God bless you,
Brother Melvin. Brother Melvin made an awesome comp when he said about evolution. Evolution, things where I was saying earlier that monkeys would still be turned into human. By this time, so many of them be changed into human beings. Then they tell me a single cell amoeba, that's the little thing in water, just be moving. Like mosquito-like larva that be in the water moving, that's like a single cell amoeba. Well, and that you get that in biology. Well, they claim that came up on the shore and it began to turn to human. We know none of that. It would still be evolving. So that was, and then he didn't say it was Darwin. Was a Darwin who did that, who made that statement.
Mm-hmm.
Beverly,
mm-hmm.
He was Caucasian, so you can't go by that.
Right,
and they,
right.
They want to take, the only thing that's viable is God created everything. Because I don't care if you said that man came from an amoeba. Who made the amoeba?
Nah.
Who made the monkey? No matter, somebody, it had to be a God to create everything, because somebody had to make it. So I would rest my case on that, but we really need to educate ourselves, because they're not going to educate us to it. Because once you understand who you is, you'll no longer think that you subordinate to them.
See, they've always had us thinking that we were below them. That's why so many African Americans go to run the white church, because they think Mr. Bobo know more than I know. Okay, they think that they are smarter.
Amen.
And that's not,
amen.
Hotel built the first pyramid, the step pyramid, and then the pyramids were built over 40 stories. To the day, they don't want to give credit to Africans building, but the pictures of the people in the pyramid, because they were like 40 stories tall. You don't have a crane, you don't have lift. How could you do it? Some of the stones are about 30 by 30, and how you move something that heavy? How can you move something? And they can't figure it out. So that, well, if we give them credit for it, then we saying they're smarter than them. No, you was in a cave. They were making all different things while you was in a cave. And what happened to the Neanderthal man? He must be breeding with the ones from Africa and other places, and they're not there anymore. It's so many things that they're coming up with to try to keep it down, but they're written, don't get me wrong, they have a record of things that the things that I've said. I'm coming from their own books, but they know that we're not gonna read the sports, and we want to read certain other things, but we're not going to read about anthropology to find out that we're the original people. We're not going to do anything about genetics. What word that is, genetics? We're not going to look into that. But when you start looking into that, you find out that you possess dominant genes. And so it's a lot of things. And then when you find out that the Bible was written about dark race of people, that the children that Japheth left out the Bible in the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, not to come back until the Greeks came with Alexander the Great about 400 years before Christ, which they were gone thousands of years, didn't play no part in that Old Testament and in the prophets. Then came the Romans about 198 years, I think, before Christ. So they didn't play anything with that. Then when they came and tried to conquer it, and they run the people there in the Africa and other places. Mm-hmm. So this is really the Bible. If you want the truth about the Bible, that's the truth about the Bible. And those Europeans have written the Bible to meet them. I always tell my class, my students, he who writes the narrative make the people be the color they want them to be.
Right.
They want
right.
to even try to make the Bible say what they want it to say. Mm-hmm. That's why every prophet, I heard brother Melvin was saying when he saw everybody was Caucasian. Every prophet, the patriarch, the prophets, the judges, you name them, the disciples, the apostles, everybody in the town is white, unless he's a slave. Then,
right.
then long as they're going to bring about a slave or something, then they'll show you some black guy. And that is to keep you thinking less of yourself. We need to
right.
this black man go out of that, go out of that, and to know I am somebody. I think it was Reverend Larry Coleman say, "I'm black and I'm proud." Jane Brown, you got to be proud of who you are. They have told you to be with. Okay, they use the Greeks or white person. For the beauty, blonde hair, blue eyes. If you don't have that light skin, you're not beautiful.
Yeah.
And we fall for it and say that our hair nappy and we ugly because your nose different from this, your skin color is different from that. And we run behind that. And as soon as these young guys, that play athletes, get to play in ball and make millions of dollars, they go after a blonde hair, blue eyed woman. And bring her there and give her all their
right.
money and everything else. And they have these beautiful chocolate caramel sisters that they could marry, but they go because they think that because of her color, she is better than what they have.
Hmm.
And they're no better. Now, I don't have nothing against race of people, but I just have to tell the truth because there have been so many lies. I love everybody. I love white folks. But I have to tell the truth to my people because they've been lied to by Caucasian for so many years.
Amen.
And let them
Amen.
Know that if they won't pick the book up, I will.
Amen.
Is there anyone else with a question?
Amen.
I think you covered it all, Doc.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I believe you answered all questions.
I believe so too.
Amen.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we gotta turn it back over to our host, who's hosting it, Reverend Williams, our the radio. He has things going on the radio just consistently, and he's a person that want to bring to the forefront and wake African Americans up to their plight. My plight is to let you know you had a history before. They want to show you a history about being a slave with whips on your back. You picked cotton and things. Yes, I know that, but what we did before that, who we were before you brought us over here to make a mockery of us.
Amen.
So we had a very, very wonderful history before we came.
Amen, Doc. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to our host, Reverend William, who's a great friend. And if you don't know, we're coming out of Mobile, Alabama. The radio station is out of Mobile. And we have people, a lot of people are not asking questions, but we got a good listening audience. So we thank
Amen.
God
Amen.
For that. Just
Amen.
The other night, I was on the air, and a brother called me from New Orleans and told me they would like me to come to New Orleans and share some of the very same things that we're talking about. And I would be honored, the Brother Warren, I would be honored to come there and share. If he's on tonight, I would just let him know I'd be honored when he called me and asked me to come to New Orleans, because you'll be surprised at who's listening to your message. And I thank God for that.
Amen.
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 Amen. God bless you. God bless you, El Poco.
God bless you, Dr. Kemp. We thank you for such a powerful show every Tuesday night here with History Talk, because we as a people need to know who we are and whose we are. And we got a
That's
lot
right.
of learning to do. God told us, my people perish for the lack of knowledge, because we reject the knowledge. And he also let us know, so since we reject the knowledge, it's like us turning our backs on it, our children will suffer. And we got to keep our children from continuing to suffer under the plight of the oppressor. And we got to fix this and change it. So thank you for coming on to Break Chains. God bless everyone that's listening tonight, participated tonight. God bless you and your homes and your families. Don't forget to join us. We'll be back here tomorrow night at 8 p.m. And Pastor Kemp and I had a conversation today that here on Breaking Chains, we are really going to go after the oppressor. We're going to go after the enemy, because enough is enough, y'all. Enough is enough. You know, enough is enough. It's time out for pretending like things are not happening, saying it ain't got nothing to do with me. It ain't my business. All of it is your business. Everything got something to do with you, because the whole world, the whole existence has something to do with you, because you are the original man and the original woman. So you are mother and father of this earth. So everything that goes on this earth got something to do with you, because your daddy created it. So it's your responsibility to take care of it. So let's break it down. Amen. So don't forget to join us tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. We'll be back breaking chains. And we thank everybody for turning on. Dr. Kim gave us our Black History tip for the night. We do this every night. So we got our Black History for tonight. So let me give you your health tip for tonight. Everybody out there listening, let's start taking better care of ourselves spiritually, mentally, and physically, okay? They're not going to do it for you. Stop depending on them to take care of you. Start taking care of yourself. Start eating better. Start eating your vegetables. Start putting fruit in your body. And drink plenty of water. Put plenty of water in your body on a daily basis, and exercise. You're lazy. You don't want to do nothing. Get up and exercise. Exercise your mind, body, and your spirit. All right? Spend time with God. Spend time in the books reading and spend time exercising your body. All right? Get your exercise on. I'm done, Dr. Kim. God bless you, everybody. Back to you, Dr. Kim.
I'm going to ask the senior pope to lead us in prayer. Pray us out.
Amen.
Okay. All right, doctor. Let us pray. Almighty, wise God, we humbly come now into your presence as humble as we know how. We come, Father, acknowledging you as God and head of our lives. We acknowledge you,
Lord.
Father, because you are God, and you are God all by yourself. Lord, we thank you for your darling Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you now,
Lord,
for the precious Holy Spirit that rests, rule, and abide in us. Lord God, we thank you for what our ears have heard, what our eyes have seen, what our hearts have felt. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight through your servant, Dr. Kemp. Lord, we thank you. For the lesson.
Thank you, Lord.
For the blessing. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Yes.
Who we are, where we come from, and who we belong to. Father,
yes,
we thank you for the word. And Lord,
thank
we pray that this word take residence in our hearts, minds, souls, and spirits. And Lord, that we may be able to retain it and the Holy Spirit will bring it all to memory whenever we need it, Father. And Lord, we just thank you right now for Dr. Williams, who
has
the audacity to bring
thank
on
you,
such a program
Lord.
To enlighten the black
thank
people.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Lord, we thank you. We ask your blessing upon him and his family, Father. Bless his endeavors.
Yes.
Lord, we pray your blessings upon Dr. Kemp and his family and all his endeavors.
Yes.
And all the ones that are listening, Lord, we bless every family that's listening in. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you bless your people, bless your land, Father. Heal your people and heal your land.
Yes.
And Father, we give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you the honor until we meet again, Father. May God be with us and keep us is my prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thank God Almighty.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless
thank
you,
Lord.
Sir. God bless you.
God,
God bless,
bless
you.
You. God bless you and keep you.
God bless you.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Well, thank you, everybody.
Amen.
Really enjoyed tonight. Powerful show. Powerful show. Let's continue to break chains, y'all. Let's continue to break everybody away from the enemy and the oppressor. Let's break these chains loose in the name of Jesus. Everybody have a blessed night.
Amen.
And as Dr. Kim tell everybody, he tell it every night, God bless you. We love you. And ain't nothing you can do about it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Good night, everybody.
My people, I love you. We're a family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make through it all. No matter what the cost, we're a family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through the pain, the rain, and all the trouble by ourselves. We're dying,
we're dying.
They are lying, hey. We're being shot and haunted. Why you hating me? I'm just trying to be,
I'm just trying to be.
Play like I can be,
great as I can be.
Grow with one another, living happily.
Living happily.
But you hurting me,
you hurting me.
Why not work for peace?
Why not work for peace?
Lying from Zion. And you're a queen. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering by ourselves. Oh, 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 oh. My people, I love you.
I love you. Oh, oh.
Why we hurting?
Why we hurting?
Not yet loving.
Not yet loving.
Not yet willing.
Why
love to all?
day, family. Breathe another day, family. Take for granted that y'all gave us all new life. But we need to learn to love each other.
Humanity.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful place for kids to run.
To History Talk on Breaking Chains with Dr. Lavert Kemp. Thank you for listening and tune in next week to learn more of who you are. Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp. Leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the Truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.